Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my friends. It is time once again for a very special edition of America's Most Haunted, because this time we're going to talk about America's Most Haunted, because guess what we just did? We just sent in America's Most Haunted to our agent, who will then peruse it, he'll go, and send it on to the publisher, finally. We've never even interacted yet, other than, you know, getting a contract and whatnot with our editor at Penguin, so it will be very exciting to hear what they think about it. And, you know, it, on the one hand, it seems like it's been a long, long time and a lot of work. But on the other hand, it was really, I guess it was about 9 months, and I didn't work on it full-time for most of that time. Most of those weeks, I put in hours here and there, but of course lately it's been blasting through full-time. But that is exciting stuff, is it not, world-famous haunted housewife Teresa Argy?
It's like a big weight has been lifted off my shoulder. Actually, it was lifted off my shoulder a few weeks ago and lifted onto your shoulder primarily. But now that it's done and boy, there was a lot of work. But I think that I think the agent's going to love it. I think the publisher's going to love it. And I think everyone's going to love it when they get there. So
it really is good. I'm not objective, really, of course, but I can try to be. And I've also had my wife Dawn's been reading over it for the last couple days. She can't just sit there and, you know, put in hour after hour, but she reads it slowly and carefully. And I think she's about up through up into the Bobby Mackey chapter, which is about halfway. And she's had a couple specific things, mostly, you know, what would seem from the outside to be quite minor. But she is very excited, too. So that's a good sign, because she is very, very critical. So I'm excited about it. I think it's really neat. For those of you who don't know, what we've been doing is, and what the whole America's Most Haunted brand is based upon, this radio show, our Twitter, our Facebook, kind of the way we've been presenting ourselves to the world. Finally, we're going to get a website up. We put up a little bloggy thing all the way back last summer, of 12, but so that doesn't really count. So we're going to put up a real site. We're going to start doing a lot of the stuff we've been doing, kind of spread between the Twitter and the Facebook and the radio. We're going to start doing that on a real site and doing some writing, and we'll do transcriptions from these shows, and we'll be linking to all the paranormal news and all kinds of other stuff. And it just shows you, when it rains and pours, man, just all this stuff just kind of comes along. There's several other things that may be happening. What we're also going to talk about tonight, besides the book itself, and I'm certainly excited about that, being able to finally chat about it a bit and brag about our efforts, is we're going to be talking about what primarily the Haunted Housewives are going to be doing with their various appearances throughout this haunted season. This is the time of the year for appearances and activities and ghost walks and fundraisers and whatnot. So we're going to be talking about that, and that's all pretty much, unless they tell me otherwise, that's mostly here in Northeast Ohio. But, you know, there's lots of people in this area. We have lots of listeners around here, and we certainly have lots of people who follow the Twitter and the Facebook and all that. So, you know, this is the time to hear about where we're going to be. And that's another thing we're going to be doing, is now that we're finally done, more or less, I'm sure we'll have some revisions. We do have to do a final pick on pictures and insert the pictures. We still have to write an overall intro for the whole book. As it stands now, it just plops right down into the first chapter. But rather than me continuing to blab on, Teresa, tell people just a little bit about the actual structure of the book. You know, what have we been doing?
Well, what we've been doing, and this process started over a year ago, where we decided we were going to write a book about America's Most Haunted Places, but we're going to take it from a more in-depth look, into the history. We get deeper into the history. We sort through some of the myths, and actually that's something we ran to quite a bit with writing the book. A lot of falsities, a lot of myths, a lot of untruths surrounding some of these places, and some of these places are what we call super haunts, and some of them are not so much. But they are still very active, very haunted. And then we included personal experiences. And this is not like not things that are said to happen or so-and-so said that so-and-so heard this. These are firsthand interviews with people who had the actual experiences was what we put in the book. And we started off with a huge list. It was over 100. And we had to narrow it down. And we, at one point, we were thinking about putting 100 in, and then it was going to be 50. But we decided if we wanted to do something well, that we should really narrow our focus. And we chose 10. And I think I'm very proud of the 10 that we chose. And these are places that I'm familiar with. And I've been to, what it was like 80% of them I've actually been to myself. And so there was a couple that I had to rely on research and people that I know who had experiences, but I still think that they were chosen well. And we also, we rank them. We put them in the order that we feel is the top 10. So I think we did a really good job. And I think the places, again, you know, there's going to be people that say, you forgot this place and you forgot that place. Well, again, we started with 100. So I'm sure that everyone's favorite place was in there at some point. But we narrowed it down to 10, and we got in-depth, and we did some research, and I think we found some very interesting things. And our book is going to have evidence and stories that no other book has, no other compilation book out there has. No other book on the market is going to have what we have. And included with that, we put travel information and all sorts of other little goodies in there. And so it's going to be a very good read. It's almost like a travel guide of a paranormal bucket list, where to go to see these America's most haunted places.
Yes, exactly. And Teresa's being somewhat modest in that, you know, the foundation of these selections are really her relationship with the place, whether it be personal or through her standing and experience in the paranormal community, because she's been at it for a long time. Anyone who listens to the show knows when we talk to people, interview all the various people from all over the paranormal world, that you know, Teresa's been around. That's what she's been doing, and that's what her interest has been for a very long time. And she's been investigating, and she's a serious investigator. She's been a member of teams, and has formulated a lot of her own opinions and ideas. And that really ends up being the core of the book. I did a lot in terms of taking some of that and embellishing it and doing additional research. And I certainly have opinions on things myself. In the course of doing the research on the book, we ended up going to several of these places. Teresa and her haunted housewife partner Kathy went off and checked out the Lemp Mansion in St. Louis. And let's see, did you do anything else specifically for the book? But Teresa and I went to the Knickerbocker, which is a lesser known but really interesting place in western New York, and that's kind of on our little more secretive list, because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to balance it between the really kind of obvious super haunts, as they're called, that are essentially, you know, for lack of a better word, they're paranormal tourist destinations. And we wanted to balance those, the really legitimate, the really amazing ones, with equally amazing and active places that just happen to be a little lesser known, or in one case, starting with number 10, I mean, it's, you know, pretty much unknown outside of this area. But and I was somewhat concerned about that, but that turned out really well too, because this place, which is right here in Willoughby, Ohio, which, and that really is the home base of the Haunted Housewives. So I think that is fitting and it's appropriate. And look, when you read it, even though it was fairly clear that that should be number 10 of our 10. I mean, there's all kinds of things that have gone on there. There's lots of creepy stories associated with it. So I think it, you know, almost by accident, it turned out to be a really nice cross section of the kinds of places that tend to be really haunted. We have hotels, we have the shut down institutions of various kinds. We have the reformatory, Ohio State Reformatory, which was a prison. We have Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum, which was in fact a lunatic asylum. We have the Waverly Hills Sanatorium, which was a tuberculosis hospital, and they were called sanatoriums. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, we have both large and small hotels. We have the world-famous Stanley, of course, out in Colorado. We have the Knickerbocker right here in western Pennsylvania. We have the Willoughby Cole. That is literally a functioning shop. It's a store, and it's still a coal supply company. But it goes back well over 100 years. And there's been stories and activity, and it's crazy. One of the stories in there was among the most profound to me, where, my goodness, a psychic saw two runaway slaves who are still there in the building. Think of that. It's crazy. And they're still afraid, and they don't know what era it is. It's heartbreaking, actually, to think about. So, you know, it's the size of the place doesn't particularly matter. It really doesn't. It's what's going on there and what the history is. And as Teresa said, what we were trying to do by limiting it finally in the final analysis to 10 places was to really be able to give the full story of those 10 places, kind of from all the relevant perspectives, even the actual travel perspective at the end, where we name the nearest hotels, we talk about the tours, we give the website information, the phone numbers, all that. Really what you would expect from a thorough travel article on the place or a book. But then the rest of the chapter is a history, not just the haunted history, but the history. And lots of background and lots of facts, and I think that part's really good. I was anxious to hear what Dawn thought about that part of it, and she said, wow, some of the history, just when you're just flat out telling the history of these places, that's some of the most compelling and interesting reading. And then, of course, since we're talking about haunted places, there's a lot of death at these places, including some really intriguing murder mysteries. So, I mean, it really is a combination of all these different kinds of things. It's history, it's analysis, it's travel. Then, as Teresa said, we interviewed lots and lots of people, and we let them tell their stories. These are people who are very close to, familiar with these various places. A lot of them are guides or the owners or people who investigate kind of out of those facilities. So they are very, very knowledgeable, very conversant with these places. Then there's our own experience with these places, which, of course, is mostly Teresa's, but I get involved to a certain extent. And we did go down. We had an amazing trip together down to Bobby Mackey's. That's just a crazy place and another just astonishing story. And I would say of all the research, the independent research that we did, I'd say we found out the most that is kind of contrary to the received wisdom, that is contrary to legend, at Bobby Mackey's and at the Ohio State Reformatory. We were able to confirm some of the stories, some of the background, some of the legends, and we were able to kind of debunk them, or at least we were able to find out that those stories can't be substantiated. So, you know, maybe they happened, maybe they didn't, but there isn't evidence at this point anyway supporting it. So it's really been a lot of fun and very interesting, and I could certainly see carrying on. Obviously, narrowing it down to 10 was not easy. We could have just as easily picked, you know, kind of any other 10, don't you think?
I mean, there's a couple that no matter how many we would have done, I absolutely would have insisted on having in there. We were also trying to make it a kind of a cross-section of the United States. So there were some places that were in contention to be in the top 10, but we really did have to spread it out. We couldn't make it so heavy on the East Coast, which we found with the research, there are so many haunted places on the East Coast, and I'm not saying that the East Coast is more haunted. I think maybe it's because it's the oldest part of the country that there's more history, and it's kind of a phenomenon that they embrace their history in New England and places like that. So we did choose, places were chosen also due to location. There were many. I could have put 100 in, but we could not have done the in-depth research. We also were trying to find places that had a bit of mystery to them. That was another thing that we used when we were deciding what 10 to put in. We were looking for something mysterious, an unsolved death, a murder, suicide, something that wasn't just, this place is old and has a lot of history, something very compelling in the history that made it kind of jump out like, oh, that's really, really interesting. Something that we could do a little investigation into and find if this history was true and how it related to the hauntings. So that also kind of narrowed our search a little bit for places that we did. And, of course, also I was really wanting to have experiences at all places that we did, but that just didn't happen. A couple places that made it in, even though I haven't been there, I think they're very, very well deserved. But another thing that we did do for our book is there are I don't want to say that we name-dropped in our book, but we did reference some of the more well-known people in the paranormal world. And the reason we did that is not just to put their name in, but so if people want to see what does this place look like, what happens at this place, they could reference one of the various TV shows that it's been featured on. Has it been on Ghost Adventures or Ghost Hunters or Paranormal State? Has it been featured on TV? Where is that? So if the reader, if they're not as in tuned with the paranormal world, as some of us are, maybe they're just an amateur ghost hunter or somebody who's just getting into it, and they want to see, well, I wonder what this place looks like. They can reference the stories that we put in there, and we'll put the episodes. If it appeared on Ghost Hunters, we put what episode it was on and what happened there. They can look it up on YouTube. They can look it up on their Hulu or Netflix or just watch the reruns, and they can find these places for themselves, and they can see what we're talking about for themselves. I think that's a very important feature that our book has that a lot of other books don't have. Plus, also, we interviewed some of these celebrities ourselves. So we did get their firsthand accounts and their perspective on things. So I think that there's enough things that are different about our book that it's going to be appealing for the well-seasoned ghost hunter, for the casual investigator, for somebody who just likes scary stories, and somebody who's just getting into the field, or even somebody who's just interested in history. Because, again, this could read as easily as a history book that just happens to have some ghost stories in it, as it does a ghost story book that happens to have a lot of history in it. So it can go either way. So I'm very proud that we got to get all of that stuff combined. I think it's balanced very nicely, and I think it's going to be interesting. We want this to be the book that everyone has when they're trying to decide where are they going to go, where is their next big adventure going to be. And our book definitely has things that no other book has. I thought it was an interesting phenomenon that we discovered in our research, that what has taken to be true, has just been accepted as fact, is sometimes not true at all. And how those stories get misconstrued is kind of amazing. It's like a game of telephone. But the truth, I think, is just as interesting, if not more interesting, than the myths of these places. But we're all about finding out the truth and getting to the heart of the story, which I think we did very well. I'm very excited. I hope that I can – I have pictures for most of these places. I'm still looking for pictures for a few places that will do it justice. We're just waiting to hear from the publisher how many pictures per chapter they actually want to use. So I think it's going to be a stunning book. I think it's going to be great.
Great point about, several things that I hadn't even mentioned. You're absolutely right. A key part of the book and a key source of our stories is we went into all the TV shows. You know, who has covered this? What did they do? What actually happened in the episode? You know, what were the ramifications of that? We even talk about the kind of the real world before and after of some of these episodes. In other words, for example, you know, the one of the most famous episodes of in the history of paranormal TV, you know, are the ones, or some of the ones that we covered. The Ghost Adventures first trip to Bobby Mackey's. I mean, my God, that's iconic. And we were able to talk to the people at Bobby Mackey's about, so what was going on, you know, what happened before and after. And, you know, so we have some depth to it. It's not just what you saw on the air, but also what went on before and after. And as Teresa said, you know, we've interviewed most of these people by now. We've talked to several of the ghost hunters. We've talked to Nick and Aaron of Ghost Adventures. I've talked to Zach several times in the past. We're just kind of waiting to get caught up with him and finally get him on this show, which we're just going to keep bugging him until he does it. But we've had you know, Aaron and Nick. We've had stars of, you know, pretty much every show that's out there that's been on the air since we have been on. And for the last year plus, we started a year ago in July. And so, you know, we were able to sort of augment what's going on the screen and what you see. And there's some amazing things that have happened on these TV shows. I mean, this is iconic stuff. We live in an amazing time. Think if you lived at any other time in history, you would not have all these sources of reference. You wouldn't have all this video. You wouldn't have the internet in order to communicate. And sure, there's people who are, you know, take advantage of that and try to perpetuate fraud and whatnot. But that's the other thing, is the multimedia that we're going to have in the book. We're not going to literally have video in the book, but we will have links to video, certainly. But some of these pictures we're going to have, and links to audio for that matter, but some of the pictures we're going to have are amazing evidence in and of themselves. I mean, some of the most amazing pictures I've ever seen, and we did the best we possibly could to validate them and make sure that they are legitimate, so much so that, you know, Teresa herself took a lot of these pictures, and I don't think we have any pictures that we didn't get from the person who took them. I don't know, possibly there's, you know, some of it we're getting pictures directly from the establishment, I would imagine. So maybe not necessarily the person who took it, but, you know, that's yet another element. It's going to be visually, I think, very appealing. The only one we've really put together, which is what we did already, you know, a year ago for the proposal, we had to write up a sample chapter, and we just kind of picked the one that was kind of a combination of the nearest and that we were both the most familiar with and that we had access to, and that was the Ohio State Reformatory down at Mansfield. And so, you know, that chapter has existed for quite a while. When I was doing the final run-through, I was actually very pleasantly surprised how little I had to change, you know, just little things here and there, just a little bit of terminology. Obviously, I've learned a ton since I worked on that chapter. So there were some things that I noticed that I just hadn't fully understood before that now I do. And, you know, just updating a couple things here and there. But for the most part, that chapter, you know, stands as it was. And the pictures in there, oh my God, they're amazing. The guy, the apparition, wearing the tank top.
I've got even more pictures. So I hope they let us put a lot of pictures in the chapter, because I have another friend of mine that was just there just recently. She's a professional photographer and took some amazing pictures from OSR. Amazing.
Something else I want to talk about, because this was something, because of the way we did it one chapter at a time. So you work on a chapter, you're completely immersed in that place, you're thinking about that place, you're researching that place, you're going to that place, perhaps, you know, as Teresa said, we've ended up, either she or I or both, have been to, I think all but... Villisca, neither of us have been to, and neither of us have been to the Stanley. Is that right?
That is correct.
And I think we have either one or both have been to all the other ones that we wrote about. Anyway, the way we did it was very episodic. So we were fully immersed in a given place. So you kind of, you know, you're so obsessed on that and getting that one done and doing the best you can and writing it up and finishing it up that, you know, you're kind of not thinking about all the rest of the book. And then you're doing one of these at a time. All right, now I'm completely focused on Villisca. Now I'm completely focused on the Stanley, et cetera. The Queen Mary. We haven't mentioned the Queen Mary. I think that's probably the only one we haven't mentioned yet. And that's just an astonishing place that we have both been to, although in very different eras and in different capacities. I haven't been there in, you know, 20-plus years, but I used to work there. I used to DJ there. And I was there several times DJing parties. So I at one point in time in the 80s, I was quite familiar with it and felt that it was a place that I kind of had a handle on, and it was fun. If it wasn't for the difficulty in moving my equipment in and out of this huge, enormous ship and having to wind your way through, it's really easy to get lost. Anyway, I'm sidetracking like I always do. What I was going to say is, some of the most interesting things for me as I was doing this final copy edit and this final review, generally the way we worked was Teresa would write it up. She would write up her experiences. We both did interviews. She still wrote up, you know, most of the interviews even. I would then get that material. I would do research. I would look things up. I would verify things. I would try to track down the origin. I would try to track down original research, try to verify or otherwise these stories and legends and tales and the sources of all these very famous ghosts. When she was saying, Teresa was saying earlier that her work was more or less done a while back, she had turned everything over to me, and then it was my turn to, you know, work my way through all this and get it organized. And I'm the editor and I'm the, you know, quote unquote professional writer. So try to get the writing really tight and get things in the best possible shape and add in my own two cents here and there. So but what I was going to say is what was really interesting doing this final run through, because now I got a much better sense of what all is in there and where the similarities are between the chapters and what the differences are. And it was really interesting to realize that, there are several really important recurring themes. And I'd like to actually talk about that. One of the things that comes up several times and is in fact still, last I've heard anyway, unless things have changed in about the last week or so, a pressing matter. Tell everyone about Mike Evans.
Oh, God. You know, speaking of Mike, Mike is a spirit, we believe, that we picked up at a visit to the Ohio State Reformatory. When I say we, I mean me and my partner, Kathy Weber.
Is Kathy calling in, by the way?
I don't know. Kathy, I just found out but 3 minutes ago, Kathy had an accident today and fell, and she was in the ER. So she's got a torn ligament or tendon or something.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. So she... I don't mean to laugh at Kathy's misfortune, but I've been teasing her about her lack of being able to stay on her feet. Her new nickname is going to be Grace. But I won't suspect that she will be calling in. But we do have a lot to talk about in regards to what upcoming events that we have. But anyway, Mike Evans, and for anybody who saw our episode of My Ghost Story, we talk about him there. We believe he's a spirit that we picked up at the Ohio State Reformatory years ago. This spirit named Mike comes through in EVPs. It's the same voice identifying himself as Mike, same type of attitude. And he started popping up at other investigations. He was at Prospect Place. He ended up at Waverly Hills. Even Blent Mansion, I think. I mean, he's just everywhere we go, he appears. Where were we just this weekend? Anna Dean Farms, down at the fundraiser for multiple sclerosis down in Barbican.
Willoughby Cole.
And is a Willoughby Cole. And it got to the point where I don't like that. I don't like having spirits follow you, even though most of them are benign. I'm to the point where I'm not even sure if I believe he's a human spirit, honestly. But unfortunately, he's really attached to Kathy and has made his presence known in her home and around her family. So that is something that we are dealing with, and we need to step that up. We actually had a psychic who kind of, the first time when we ran into him, she was the one who identified him, not by name, but said there was the spirit and kind of described him. And then we got the name through an EVP and did a little research and found a little bit of physical evidence that he actually was. But I don't know. I don't think he's a good guy. I don't think he's a benign spirit. And I'm starting to wonder if he is even a human spirit. I don't know. But if Kathy had been on an investigation and fallen again, I would say that Mike pushed her. But she was at Patterson's Apple Farm, and she fell down, and she hurt herself. So I don't think Kathy will be joining us. But, yeah, we talk about Mike quite a bit because he appears in the book several times.
Over and over.
Over and over. And, yeah, it's almost like we have our ghost mascot, but it's not something that I want
it's
to
keep
hold
of. It's not a positive thing. No,
I don't believe it's a positive thing at all. And the thing with Kathy, and Kathy obviously being my partner, my ghost hunting partner and my best friend, she is in the book quite a bit. There is a lot of Haunted Housewives adventures in the book besides my own experiences and mine and Eric's experiences. A lot of what happens to me happens to her as well. So, and, you know, he pops up all the time. So it's a kind of an interesting take. He's almost like, you know, Eric, he's almost like the thread that holds the stories together. I just thought of that. He's almost like the one reoccurring theme in almost all of these hauntings, at least from our personal perspective, is this Mike character. And believe me, especially when we did the reformatory, we researched and we tried and tried and tried to find exactly who this person was, and all we got was little tidbits of information. So, you know, it's still a big mystery.
But some amazing tidbits of information and some amazingly concrete tidbits of information, I would add. You know, so, yeah, I mean, my point with that is besides, like you said, I mean, he is sort of a thread. It's really a cautionary tale, you know. I mean, it really makes you stop and think. And there's a lot of times, because these are the places we're visiting are, I mean, from our perspective anyway, generally positive. I mean, these are places that, you know, we wouldn't feel particularly concerned about sending people to visit.
That's scary. There's some scary, scary, scary stuff in there, though.
Scary stuff, and you really
better
do.
Better going in knowing everything than going in blind. And I think our book
will
definitely know the good and the bad. Yes, absolutely.
And that reflects back on some things that Nick Groff told us back already, I don't know, almost a year ago, I think, when we interviewed him on this show. And that was, whoa, you know, I got to tell you guys, now that I've been doing this for several years and have been making my living from it and sort of dedicated myself to this, I have some reservations. You know, he said, I do not just blindly charge into places anymore. I do not open myself up willy-nilly you know, to whatever is around. And that's something that comes up in the book, too, when people willingly open themselves up, when they invite whatever's there to come in, that's almost never a positive outcome, at least for, you know, stories, personal experiences in the book. And, you know, so here you have someone who's obviously immense amount of experience, talented, brave, you know, has the world in his palm in terms of being at the absolute forefront of the field, and I'm talking about Nick here. He, you know, after all this time, really has some reservations about the way that they used to, anyway, go about doing things. And he said, look, I'm a lot more cautious now, and I really do have to think. I mean, he won't even go back into Bobby Mackey's. And also John Zaffis, who I don't know if there's anyone we've had on that you and I have more respect for. I mean, you know, who's been around longer, done more, has a more profound understanding of the paranormal, including the demonic side of it and the potential dangers. And, you know, these are people who definitely suggest caution. You do need to know what you're doing. You do need to know where you are. You do need to know what the background is. And you need to take things kind of one step at a time. You can't just throw yourself open and assume that things will go the way you want them to.
Yeah, and after talking to some of the people that have had these experiences, you know, you always wonder when you see them on TV, are they doing this for dramatic effect or what? And that's kind of how I approached a couple of these places before I went in there. I'm like, I didn't know whether to believe the hype. And after visiting some of these places that I thought, because honestly, before I went to a couple of these places, I wasn't sure they were going to make it into the book. Reputation aside, I needed to find out for myself. And I was quite surprised at how affected I was by some of these places. So now when I look back and think about some of the people we interviewed that had been at this, it's like Nick's interview comes up, Nick Groff. First of all, his interview was great. He's so not a quiet guy like you see him on TV. He's so much more outgoing and energetic. He really has a lot more personality when we spoke to him than translate on TV. But to hear him say, I won't ever go back in that place again, after all his years and all his experience, and now after being there myself, I believe him. I believe he means it 100%. And hearing what some of these other people have to say, you know, it makes you think, well, you know, I guess there is a lot of truth. There's a lot of power in just the reputation of these places. And I don't know if it's the foreboding feeling that you get thinking, oh my gosh, this place is supposed to be so crazy haunted, and then you find out for yourself, and you know, you never know. And through interviews, we've interviewed people that went into these places, and some of them were like, yeah, you know, it was quiet, it was okay, nothing happened. And other people that were like, I will never go back there again. I was terrified. Even one of the people in our book, Bobby Mackey's, he contacted me recently, a couple weeks ago, I think it was. He feels that something followed him home from Bobby Mackey's, and he was terrified. And he wanted to know what he could do to get rid of it. And he was apprehensive about going in. And I tell you, I believe him 100%. I believe he's sincere.
Yeah, that's another whole other side of this is it's amazing the variety of experiences that people have, even under, in our case, you're in my case at Bobby Mackey's, literally the exact same circumstances. I mean, we went down there, we got there in the day, we were kind of waiting around. That's when we talked to Mike, who I believe you're just talking about now. And, you know, met some people while we were waiting to get in. And then we got in the building. It was still daytime, later day. We got a little private tour, so we got the lay of the land and were able to see kind of what was what. I don't think anything in particular happened to either of us that first time through. But then we stuck around and we talked to kind of all the main people, Wanda Kay, of course, and Matt, of course, Matt Coates, and various other people. And then we went on the sort of official public tour with a group, kind of right when they opened in the evening. And my God, all hell broke loose. I mean, in terms of your experiences. And yet here I was in the same places within, you know, a yard or two of you at pretty much any given time. And nothing really happened to me. And I think the difference is, and I've mentioned this too many times on this show, I think I had a point in my life, and I almost can pinpoint it now that I've been thinking about it so much more over the last year, where I just kind of subconsciously shut all of this out. I don't want to have to deal with this. I had had some really strange experiences fairly close together. Plus, I had kind of just this general sense, ongoing general sense, of an awareness of a different world. And it was around me kind of always. You know, certainly much more so at night when I'm by myself, you know, when there's not a lot of other things going on. But I think I had a fairly strong sense of that, a direct relationship with this other world. You know, does that mean, I don't know what term to put on it. I don't know necessarily if that made me, you know, psychic or sensitive or whatever. I don't know. But I did have these things happen. I had some very specific, intense, for me anyway, clearly paranormal experiences, pretty close together in my later teens. I guess it was all in my later teens. And as I say, kind of this general sense that always just outside my field of vision, you know, the corner of my eye, the top of my vision, the bottom of my vision, there was always something going on, always something threatening to break in, to crash through. And I think at some point I just said, man, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to live my life in fear, because sometimes it really did make me afraid, especially kind of by myself and not necessarily when anything tangible at all was going on. But just, again, having that sense, that kind of tingling, and I just didn't want to deal with it. And I think at some point I just said, you know what, I am shutting this out, I am turning this off, and I'm just not going to be sensitive to it. I'm not going to be receptive to it anymore. And I guess I haven't been. And that was a long time ago. I mean, you know, that was 30 years ago. And or more, to be honest. And so it really interests me. And I've been thinking and thinking and thinking about that experience that we had where we're on this tour, and you had several really concrete, specific, frightening, you know, clearly paranormal things happen to you. And I don't know if I just wasn't looking in the right place at the right time, but I think it's more than that. I think I just am not sensitive to it. And I don't know if that's good or bad, you know, or maybe it's neither. But in a sense, I feel like, well, you know, am I cutting myself off from a certain part of life, from an important part of life? But then on the other hand, I hear all these cautionary tales. You know, I don't want things following me home. I really don't. And I don't have any doubt, at least at this point anyway, by now, I don't have any doubt that there is reality to this, however we define, for lack of a better term, the spirit world. So this whole experience for me, you know, the last year plus, really went back farther than that, kind of when I started doing interviews for print, for the most part, with these various people, with the various kind of para stars. I started talking to them back a few years back. That's how I met Teresa. I saw her on, and her team, including Kathy, on the Paranormal Challenge show, the the game show, I guess, the competition show that Zach put together, and contacted her and said, hey, you know, that was cool. Here you are right in Cleveland. That was amazing. You did a great job. That was really interesting. Like to interview you. You know, where do you fit into all this? What's all this mean to you? And, you know, that was my door, was definitely kind of from the media, from the journalistic standpoint. But surely over this last year plus, especially since we've been actively working on the book and thinking about it and doing this radio show, and I've been covering the paranormal news, you know, via social media, Twitter in particular, it's really opened up my thinking, and I guess it's forced me to think about things that I've had buried in the back of my mind for 30 plus years. So I would say it's probably not an exaggeration to say that this whole experience has changed my life and has changed my perspective. Before we run out of time, because it's already quarter till, why don't you talk about actually what you wrote up for the show, your where you're going to be appearing and what you have all going on throughout the festive Halloween season. So get on it.
Yeah, I was hoping I could get all this in. We did want to mention the book, of course, but I didn't think we were going to spend the whole show on it. There's so much going on, and I want to talk about some of the great events that we have going on. That it's not just me. These are events that people can come out and participate in for Halloween. I first want to mention the event that just happened last Saturday. This was put on by Dark Alley Paranormal, and they were the team that we were up against in Paranormal Challenge, the Northeast Ohio chapter. With Ray Gooseberry, organized this event with the help of Daniel Hooven from Paranormal Challenge, School Spirits, and Haunted Encounters. And it was a fundraiser at the Anna Dean Farms in Barberton, Ohio, for multiple sclerosis. And it was the first one, and we were the Haunted Housewives appeared as speakers. Kathy and I were out there as speakers, and along with many others, Daniel was a speaker. Rebecca Kirschbaum, Stephanie Bingham was out there, Alex Myring from Dark Alley. There was a whole slew of people out there, great vendors, and it was a great event. First time they ever did this event, and it was a huge success. There were so many people. They had a big turnout at the door. A lot of people bought raffle tickets for the raffle. They were raffling off investigations to Pennhurst and Madison Seminary and all sorts of great prizes. They raised a lot of money. We did a lot of good. It was a huge success. Next year, it will be even better. Anna Dean Farms was a historical farm area. It was actually three locations, three different buildings that was set up by O.C. Barber way back when, and it was historically amazing. It was a great event. Next year, make sure you go to the Anna Dean Farms FairCon. But upcoming for Halloween, first of all, if you want to go on a ghost walk and you live in the Northeast Ohio area, you have to come out to the Willoughby Ghost Walk. That is Kathy's baby. I am one of her ghost walkers. I don't know if Kathy will be walking since she hurt herself. Oh, I shouldn't laugh. I'm going right to hell. Since she hurt her tendon, but we run the Willoughby Ghost Walk. It's every weekend now through Halloween. It is a walking tour of the most haunted little town in the USA, if you ask me. And you can go online to willoughbyghostwalk.com or find us on Facebook, and you can get to the link from there. It's amazing. It's super reasonable. It's family-friendly, good for all ages. and it is absolutely a fantastic evening. So you should come out to that. Another thing that we've got coming up, if you want to learn a little more about ghost hunting, a little more about what we do, I have my classes through Polaris Career Center in October. I have Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Ghosts 1 and Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Ghosts 2. And that is coming up on Wednesdays in October. I believe it's the second and third Wednesday in October. So you can sign up to that through the Polaris Career Center, and it's under the Adult Education classes, and sign up through there. It's a fun class. It's interactive. I show lots of pictures. I have a good presentation. I talk all about our haunted adventures, everything that the Haunted Housewives have done in the past, things that we have coming up, lots of great stuff. And those are always a good time. We always get a nice group of people in there, and it's very interactive, and I answer questions, and we get really in-depth. It's a lot of fun. And then also, the next Good Time fundraiser we have coming up, and this is a big one. This is right after Halloween, but you'll still be in the Halloween spirit. We have Para-X 2013 at the Lake County History Center in Painesville. This is the old poorhouse. This is an event that Kathy puts on every year. I think this is the fourth or fifth year we're doing it. Fourth year for me. I'm not sure if she did a year before I did or not. This is your chance to come and investigate, the only chance that you have to come and investigate the Lake County Historical Society, their museum. This is the old poorhouse. The building is huge. It's absolutely beautiful. Part of it is a museum. There's real dungeons in the basement and real Victorian artifacts out on display. It's really an amazing, beautiful building, and we have a panel of speakers. Every year, Michelle Bellanger from Paranormal State has been our guest speaker. Michelle, along with Jackie Williams, who is a brilliant artist and a very skilled psychic and energy worker, the two of them have been our guest speakers for the last 3 years. This year, they will be back as usual. And again, they volunteer their time. Let me put that out there. Michelle is a very, very sought-after celebrity in the paranormal world, and she does this for free, which is amazing. She's an amazing person. But we're going to do a panel this year. So besides Michelle and Jackie, Daniel Hooven will be there. Adam Kimmel, hopefully, will be there. So they're going to talk about some of their experiences. I will be on the panel, as well as Rebecca Kirschbaum from School Spirits. And she's also featured in the book. She's got some great stories in our America's Most Haunted book. So that's going to be a great event. Tickets are very limited. We try to keep the group low enough so that when we do break out into groups and investigate, you go on an investigation into all the areas of the poorhouse, and it's amazing. And then everybody kind of meets back, and we rotate into different areas. It's very well done. It's very well organized, and we get some of the greatest evidence. It's and the greatest personal experiences, and the money goes to benefit the Lake County Historical Society. This is a very important fundraiser. It's a big money maker for the place, and it's a great time. And it is also the only time that you will be able to ghost hunt at this place. They are not open for paranormal investigations. They will not be open for paranormal investigations except for these fundraisers anytime soon. So go to willoughbyghostwalk.com or check us out on Facebook. It's posted on the America's Most Haunted Facebook page as well. We have links to this. And registration went up yesterday, and it's going to fill up fast. I don't think there'll be anything open after a week, so you better get on that quick if you want to do that. And if you miss that, or if you're still in the mood for ghost hunting after that, the following week, the Lake County Historical Society event is November 1st. That's the first Friday in November, right after Halloween. The following Friday, November 8th, we have another fundraiser for Greenwood Farms in Richmond Heights, Ohio. Richmond Heights, Ohio, is right down the road from me, so I'm very excited about this. It's not a long commute. This is the old Pfeiffer Farm, and this is a property that is owned by the city, and we are trying desperately to help raise money so that stays as it is, as a historical site. We do not want them to tear it down and build a mini mart or a parking lot or a building. So we're trying to raise money for the Greenwood Farms. This will be our third time at Greenwood. And again, there are three locations on this property, three buildings. We're going to get a group in, and we will rotate, so you'll have a chance to investigate with us in all three areas. And it's a beautiful place, lots of history. The Pfeiffer family owned this, and the last living Pfeiffer member died not too long ago. So they stayed on this farm, and it's got an amazing history. So come out and join us there. It's the Greenwood Farm Fundraisers on November 8th. And I know I'm forgetting something else. Oh, and if you want to go back to the Ohio State Reformatory, right now they are closed for tours, for historical tours. They are open, or will be open if they haven't opened yet, for their Halloween, their haunted prison experience. So that's happening right now out at OSR. It's a little bit different. It's not run by the Reformatory. The Haunted Prison Experience is a haunted house attraction. It's the best one in the country, if you ask me, though. I mean, they could take people through that building without decorating it, and it'd be scary. But they do set it up as a haunted house, so you can come out to that and go through the building. You do get to see quite a bit of the building, even though it's dark and it's decorated all scary for Halloween. But the Haunted Prison Experience runs now through Halloween. But then, in November, November 25th, I will be taking a tour back to OSR for a ghost hunt. This is open to the public. This is through Polaris Career Center. If you want to go ghost hunt at the Ohio State Reformatory with the Haunted Housewives, Kathy and I will be taking a busload of people down to the Ohio State Reformatory. It's not an all-night thing, but you do get a ride. Well, we leave from Berea High School, so you get transportation to and from on a bus. When we get to the Reformatory, you have the option of taking a guided historical tour with one of the tour guides. And if you've been there before and you're familiar with the history and you would prefer to use that time just to ghost hunt, you're able to go off on your own and ghost hunt. We have the entire building to ourselves. There will be no other groups there. So this is a small group. We have usually between 20 and 40 people only on these tours. And it is a great opportunity to investigate the most haunted prison in the world, if you ask me, with the Haunted Housewives. And this is great. It's really good for people who are just interested in a little bit and they want to take the historic tour. Becky usually leads the tour, and she's really good about giving history and some of the hauntings. But if you want to skip that part, if you've been there and you just want to get in there and ghost hunt, then you're allowed to just go off and ghost hunt. And Kathy and I will be there. We'll be there to help and tell you all about our experiences as well. That is coming up November 25th. If you want to register for that, you need to go on to Polaris Career Center and look through their tours under their adult education, or you can contact me. I will be posting a link to that on my Facebook page and the Haunted Housewives Facebook page as well. So that's what's happening. I hope I didn't forget anything. I know there was a lot going on this past weekend. Friday the 13th, I was off in I'm in Chicago. I was in Chicago with my husband for a little getaway, and I did get to take Ursula Belsky's Haunted Chicago tour, and that was interesting. I got to see the H.H. Holmes body dump, and I got to see the Eastland disaster site. That was a lot of fun. So if you're going to be out of the area and in Chicago, take Ursula Belsky's tour. It's a great little tour. It's a lot of fun. Lots of stuff going on, but lots of stuff right here in Northeast Ohio. So come out and join the Haunted Housewives and come and spend Halloween with us. It's going to be a great season.
So, Teresa, do I get to do any of these things?
No, you're not allowed to do anything. Yes, now that you've finished the book, you can come and do anything you want.
All righty. Well, let's sort that out, won't we?
Come to the History Center. I think I invited you last year. You should come to the History Center. It's an amazing thing. You're always welcome on the Ghost Walk. You know that. My classes would probably bore you, but there's lots of going on. If you want, you know, maybe you'll see Eric there too. I highly recommend you get involved in these. And remember, all these events that we do, everything we do, the money that is raised or the money that is taken in from all these events, including my classes at Polaris, they all go towards a good cause. Polaris just breaks even on these tours. They don't make any money. But after paying the bus and giving the donation to the the reformatory. I mean, nobody's lining their pockets with any of these events. They're all for a good cause. So come on out. It's a great way to spend some money, and it's a great way to get into the Halloween spirit.
Hey, guess who we just heard from 5 minutes ago?
Who?
Our book agent.
No, really? What'd he say? Start over? It's no good?
He said, obviously skimmed only, looks amazing, connecting you directly, do not pass go to your editor at Penguin.
Oh, and Kathy was trying to call in. I just got the notice that she was trying to call in. And you know what? We're recording. We're not even live anymore, but we're recording because I ran over our time. But Kathy's on the line. Did you see that?
I do now.
Oh.
Hi,
I'm
Kathy.
I'm so sorry. I just saw that. I just saw that you were trying to call in.
Yeah, I got on just in time to hear her making fun of me.
Yes.
It was great.
Are you?
Clever.
I'm laying here. I couldn't even reach my iPad, so I had somebody send me the number.
I'll tell you. Now that I skimmed, well, obviously more than skimmed. Now that I reviewed and read carefully through every word of the book in close proximity to each other, in other words, not chapter by chapter, I realized what an integral part of the book you are. I mean, you are all over the book.
I can't wait to read it. Keep claiming it.
Teresa hasn't shown you any of it?
No, she hasn't. It'll be a surprise for me.
Cool. Well, you're all over it.
Everywhere I am, Kathy is as well. She's been with me on 99% of all my haunted adventures. So we are one brain.
Joined at the hip?
Yes. Well, no, I don't want to be joined at your hip because you keep falling.
I know. You're going down with me.
Get her a hug around for the ghost walk. I don't know how she's going to do that now. She's going to be on crutches.
I think the Segway would be better.
No, there's no seatbelt on the Segway. You can't have a Segway.
I'd kill myself for sure.
You'd be running into traffic. Oh, she'd be the next ghost in Willoughby, Ohio. But did you hear that? I was telling everybody how great the ghost walk is, even if you have to do it in a wheelchair. They should come out and see you.
I hope I can get out and do it myself. It'll be great.
Yeah. Kathy, I was telling Eric, I don't know if you heard this part, I told Eric that if this would have happened in your home or at any of the haunted locations we would have been at, I would have blamed it on Mike.
Yeah, I know. And this was definitely not Mike. It was me falling off a bridge.
Oh, how do you fall off a bridge?
I was helping.
Wow.
I was helping my granddaughter cross it.
by
well,
becoming
it was
bridge,
a noble cause.
That's right. No, we were actually up in a treehouse, and there was one of those little wobbly bridges, and I was trying to help her across it, and instead I flipped off.
Aye, aye, aye.
Oh.
That must have been quite a sight.
I'll tell you. Don't worry, though. Addie just jumped up and scampered ahead and went ahead on whatever else she was doing while I lay there.
Oh, God.
Well, now that the book is in, I am going to have to start showing up at some of these soirees.
Thanks for the warning, Eric. I can't wait to see
you. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah, did I miss anything?
I haven't seen you in a while.
Did I miss anything?
Well,
Greenwood and the Lake County History Center, the OSR tour, the classes, the ghost walk, and I talked about our time at Greenwood at Anadine Farms as well. Did I miss anything in there?
How about the Morley Library?
Morley Library, thank you very much. Yes. Morley Library will be at, when is that? October 27th, the Monday, right?
No, it's a Tuesday, so 28th.
Is it a Tuesday? Okay, whatever. Tuesday. And you know who's going to be there the week before us?
John Kachuba.
Kachuba, of course. Mm-hmm. John Kachuba will be there for us. We will be there the following week. And we got some great guests coming up too. We've got Michelle Belanger is coming back on the show. Jim Harrell from the Paranormal Podcast coming back on the show. I got the guys from Adventure Myths coming on the show. We got lots of good stuff coming up. So
Oh, yeah, we do. Tonight ended up being great because it was kind of the first time, I think, ever, where we just chatted about our own activities. Of course, the timing was pretty great considering we sent the book in, you know, minutes before the show started. So the timing was really pretty good, I'd say, for us to chat about such things. But, yeah, I mean, we're really we've had tremendous luck. I mean, it's really been fun to talk to all the people. I can tell you real quick, next week we have the executive producer of the Unexplained Files, which has been going on Science Channel. And that's a really been a good show. You know, there's so many of these shows that, you know, aren't personality oriented. They're, you know, there's a narrator. You don't necessarily know who that person is. There's no one person who's the focal point. It's a topical thing. But, you know, some of the stuff they've covered on that show are really different from what you see on some of the other ones. I love the thing about the Iceman from up in the Alps, the mummy they found. That one was an amazing episode. I didn't even know there was supposed to be a curse around him, although everyone's dropping dead around him. Anyway, we will have we'll be talking about the Unexplained Files next Tuesday night. After that, we're going to hop over to the horror film category, which we do from time to time, and we'll be talking to stars and director, producer of Dead Before Dawn, which is yet another zombie-ish type film, and Christopher Lloyd is in that one. I don't think we're talking to him, but sadly, but it'll be great. And then one of the few return. So far, we just keep talking to people, you know, for the first time. We've had a couple, very few, who've been back. I know you just said Michelle's coming back, and that'll be great. We had an amazing time talking to her. She was one of our very first shows back last year. But we're going to have the return of Ed and Marcia from Making Monsters. I don't think – were you on that show? I think you were out of town or something. That was really interesting.
I think we missed that one.
I think you're right. That was a fascinating show. I just love that. And, of course, it's right in the middle of the haunting season, which is what they do. They make all the props and all this really high-end crazy stuff for the super haunted attractions. And Ed goes all the way back to his high school days. He started making masks by hand back when he was in high school. So that'll be great. And on and on. And we've got several, you know, kind of tentative things we just need to get firmed up because they're far enough off in the future. We are going to be doing a little more of once in a while dipping in to the horror side of things. We've done it a few times, but we're going to do it a little more often, I think, now. Because that's fun, and that's interesting, and it's fun to hear how these movies are made. And, of course, Britt, good old Britt Griffith, he kind of straddled both sides of it, being a ghost hunter and a horror filmmaker and actor, so he was really interesting. So that kind of reminded me how fun that can be. We've had a couple Scream Queens on from time to time as well. So anyway, we got lots of great stuff planned, and we're just going to keep powering right on through. And as literally we just found out, I'm not kidding, 5 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago, we have been kind of cleared to now start dealing directly with our editor at Penguin, so that is certainly a good sign. And hopefully in the fairly near future, we'll have a time frame for when the book will be coming out, and obviously we'll be doing as much promotional work around that as we possibly can and getting out there and meeting people and kissing babies and beating the bushes.
All right. Well, Kathy, I hope you're feeling better. I'm sorry to get you on Twitter.
Yes, me too. I'm sorry to hear it.
I want to take this opportunity to say congratulations on finishing the book.
We will be back next week. Who's our guest next week? I don't know. We'll have somebody next week and more updates.
Unexplained Files.
Oh, that's right. And don't forget, check all these things I talked about tonight are available. Check us out on Facebook, WilloughbyGhostWalk.com, Haunted Housewives on Facebook, my personal Facebook page, or the America's Most Haunted Facebook page. We'll have all the information you need. And register soon for the Lake County Historical Society, Para X 2013, because this space is limited. Right, Kathy?
Yeah,
yeah, you guys got to start. You have to siphon all this information my way so I can tweet it on America's Most Haunted.
We've already had a lot of action on that, Para X.
I bet. People have been waiting for it. People have been waiting for a long time because they know it comes every year. So, yeah, get on that right away. It's a smaller group this year, it looks like you've got.
Well, I'm trying to keep it limited so we can have a really good time when we go out on our investigation.
That's a good idea. Excellent. All right, everybody. Well, I'm off. Kathy's got to go and ice her knee.
Medicate yourself.
And we will see you all next week. And have a great week. Thanks for tuning in to the show where I interviewed myself.
You gotta do that now and then.
Yeah, you do. All right. Well, thanks, Kathy. I hope you're feeling better. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thanks.
We'll talk to you next week.
Good night.
Farewell.